This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 18th of April 2021. News West today is the history edition and we take a look at things that happened in amateur radio in 1951. There's also an announcement of a car boot sale coming up at the Hills Amateur Radio Group, a report on the Katanning Ham Feast, and of course Roy's Helpline. And there's more on News West.
From the Amateur Radio Magazine, 1st of April, 1936, the editorial. The majority of the amateurs in Australia have no doubt heard of the IARU, in full, International Radio Union. But how far these amateurs appreciate the functioning of the union is an entirely different matter. The union goes much further than the mere awarding of a WAC or the printing of personal notes in QST, and the following should go far to clarify the position. The union consists at the moment of 26 national amateur bodies, amalgamated under the one binding constitution to function in a manner determined by the majority of the member societies, to be in the best interests of amateur radio. The Constitution provides for a headquarters society of the Union, but this can be changed at will by the members. The present HQ society is the ARRL. Every 6 months, a calendar is forwarded to each of the 26 national societies, and in cases of urgency, special calendars are circulated. The calendar provides the constitutional medium for effecting international agreements between member societies concerning the affairs of the union. These can be divided into three phases. Firstly, direct motions by members who desire the direction of the union. Secondly, the discussion centered around such motion. And thirdly, items of general interest concerning international amateur affairs. These two main calendars are dated June and December of each year. This institute is a member society of the union, and it is represented by the FHQ, at present located in Sydney, and it is left to the federal executive to adjudicate on matters arising out of the constitution. Included with the December reports of member societies, and at times such calendars run to 30 pages. It is futile to dismiss the fact that much of the hope for a successful future for amateur radio centres around the effective operation of the IARU. It will be an international conference that may rob the amateur of his rights. And just as logically, it will be an international body that can do most to save them. The International Technical Consulting Committee on Radio Communications, the CCIR, meets in Bucharest, Romania, in the spring of 1937. An IARU delegation will be there. Australian amateurs will be indirectly represented, and the Institute, together with member societies, will be paying their share of the cost. The International Radio Regulations Conference will run in Cairo in 1938, and that is not so far off that the fate of our bands, our rights, and our privileges are in the balance. You are interested, surely. We'll do your share by joining the Institute if you are not already a member. And if you are, well, put your shoulder to the wheel and push the Institute and indirectly the IARU to operate for the future of your hobby. Mr. W. M. Moore, Federal President.
From the West Australian, Friday the 15th of June, 1951. An item with the heading, One Good Turn. HOF, Bavaria, June 14. A Bavarian radio engineer recently got himself a good job with a Sydney radio firm by shortwave. Hans Ruckert, who lives near here and is a radio amateur, some months ago established a shortwave radio contact with an Australian amateur. The Australian asked him to get some spare parts for his German radio set. Ruckert got them and sent them to Australia. Without knowing it, Ruckert had helped a director of a radio tube manufacturing firm in Sydney. The Australian, by way of expressing his thanks, helped Ruckert to get a job in Sydney and smoothed out troubles in getting visas and passages for the German family.
The Hills Amateur Radio Group are having a car boot sale soon, and that's on Saturday, May the 1st, 2 weeks away. So start clearing out your junk, your surplus items. Sellers will be admitted from 12 noon at $5 per bay, and the buyer's entry is free. It's nice to see one of these things starting at a respectable time, isn't it? 12 noon. Gee, you could have a good breakfast before you go. Come along and join in the fun at the Haag Club Rooms, and that's at 5 Sanderson Road in Les Murdies. And there's a sausage sizzle happening during the day, and I'm sure there'll be more than one person asking where the heck the Haag burgers are, but we'll have to settle for the Haag sausage sizz in its place. So, if you actually need an excuse to go for a drive in the hills, rock up anyway to the Haag Club Rooms in Sanderson Road in Les Murdies. So that's the Haag car boot sale, Saturday, 1st of May, 12 noon till 3 p.m. We'll remind you again next week and hope to see you there. Well, apologies in advance if you hear a cat meowing or other strange noises. So I'm recording in my mobile studio today. I'm in the caravan parked out the back of my son's place in Augusta, and the cat is resident in the caravan, and she squawks every now and again to get my attention. That's what cats do. But anyway, I'm Bob VK6POP, and you're listening to News West, being broadcast via VK6 Amateur Radio News.
This item appeared in the Denmark Post on Thursday, the 23rd of August, 1951, and in several other papers at the time. The story is amusing in its style and isn't really about amateur radio, but it does involve a radio amateur. Here's the story. Travellers from 67 countries have already visited the BBC's Festival of Britain exhibition, which opened some weeks ago at 201 Piccadilly. As the BBC's wartime, quote, stage door canteen, 201, became an entertainment centre for Allied servicemen and women, now it welcomes visitors of every continent from Afghanistan to Zanzibar, Chile to Vietnam, Israel to the Philippines. Out of the entries in the visitors' book, two stand out in red ink, their owners having rejected the more orthodox blue ink pens proffered by the information staff. One signature is that of the Director General of Public Health of Ethiopia. The other, a Cockney barrow boy from the London suburb of Walthamstow. Among the latest signatures, there are those of the five members of a delegation representing Japanese industry who went to the exhibition on their recent visit to England. Some visitors have made comments in writing or aloud. "I won't sign. My writing is ineligible," said one gentleman in a manner worthy of a certain American film magnate. Quote, "I was going to the Royal Academy in my lunch hour, but I came to the exhibition instead," said a young businessman. "Oh, yes, it was well justified," a New Zealand nurse working her way around the world said. "The BBC is the first thing we think about when we get to England. It is the vital link with the mother country." In front of the recording display one morning, countless small schoolboys were thronging around to hear their voices on disc, their schoolmaster listening to them hilariously recording nicknames of 99% of their teachers muttered. "Boys have some sense of decency after all. They've left me out." The television camera, which enabled viewers to see themselves as others see them, prompted one bohemian and slightly aging female to say, "I shall either get my face lifted or cut my throat." Surprisingly, the television section also attracted a number of blind visitors. One man, who already paid four visits to the exhibition, tapping his way with a white stick, went straight to the television section. The strong lights enabled him, though almost totally blind, to glimpse faces vaguely on the screen. Another blind man was a radio amateur who had built his own set and followed the cameraman's highly technical description of the outside broadcast television gear on display by fingering the various parts of the camera.
During the week, Wednesday, to be precise, Katanning was invaded by amateur radio operators who turned up at the Royal Exchange Hotel for Hamfeast. I didn't count heads, but there was a decent crowd there, and judging by the noise they generated, it was a fair few people, or perhaps the din was a product of a fair few drinks, who knows. People travelled from the metropolitan area, the eastern hills of Perth, Albany, Bunbury and points in between. My wife and I stayed at the caravan park, having driven down on Tuesday, in order to have more than 1.5 standard drinks at Hamfeast. During a nocturnal meander to the facilities, I noticed a camper van with a rather specialised antenna mounted on the back, and in the morning I found Wally VK6KZ had similar plans to mine, and so we had a good yarn in the caravan park. And while I was bumping into people, I met Alf VK6 Fox Amateur Radio Fox, someone I knew as a young adult and hadn't seen for mumble decades. It was good to see him after all these years. Now back to Hamfeast, there was the usual Hamfeast raffle with several prizes, but I reckon the raffle must have been rigged because I didn't win anything. And I did buy tickets, in case you were wondering. But anyway, congratulations to those people who did win. Now thanks to Rob VK6LD for organising Hamfeast. It's a very good gathering, and there were some regulars missing, and I hope they are well and simply had a better offer. I'm not sure what a better offer than Hamfeast would look like, but I wouldn't mind it being offered to me. Next Hamfeast to look forward to is Quinnanup around November, according to Rob.
From the West Australian, Monday the 21st of May, 1951. Blind Girls Radio Friendships, London, May 20. A London telephonist who has heard but never seen her friends hopes to emigrate soon to Australia. She is Miss Nina Barrett, 21, the only blind girl in Britain to hold a radio transmitting licence. Her talks with amateur radio transmitters in other countries have given her the desire to travel. Every evening after her guide dog Sweep has brought her home from a job as a bank telephonist in London, she settles down to her transmitter and talks to her friends throughout the world. Miss Barrett hopes that when she arrives in Australia, she will find many of her wavelength friends. "I will have to leave Sweep behind," she said. "I shall miss him terribly, but he is 8 years old now, and I don't think he could stand the journey."
I think some people reckon I'm joking when I say that my job as producer of News West is up for grabs. But I'm not. I've been at it now since 2008 when Dennis VK6KAD died and left me the farm. I had offered to look after the news for him until he became well enough, and I reckon wherever he is now, he's still laughing at me. I'm not trying to get out of the job because I don't like it. In fact, I'm enjoying it immensely. However, there's a bit of a trap in the way News West works at the moment, and the trap is that I write almost all of the content. So that means you're getting my opinion, my point of view, and my point of view only. Of course, everyone knows that I always get everything right, and my opinion is always correct and on the mark, isn't it? Well, I doubt it. However, that's all you hear on News West, my opinion. I do from time to time invite you, the listening public, to express your views, even to contradict things that I say. But there are no takers. And if I'm always so right on the mark about what's happening in the amateur radio world that I never get it wrong, I want a pay rise, a big one. But back to the job. I could probably stick to the job of News West producer further into the future if someone else could start writing some copy for the news, express some views, contradict or support what somebody else has said, especially me. I'd double your volunteer salary if you could also record your own stuff, but hey, short steps. In short, folks, I'm on the hunt for people who can create content, either as news reports on something that has or is going to happen, or to write an opinion piece, or something instructive. Just remember, we can't show diagrams. So if you're vaguely interested, please give me a shout. Send an email to me, vk6pop, that's vk6popperoscarpopper, @westnet.com.au. Did you get that? vk6pop @westnet.com.au. And let's see what we can do.
From the West Australian, Friday, the 20th of July, 1951, comes an item headed The Iron Curtain Pierced. West Australian hams who pierce the Iron Curtain are discussed in this week's issue of The Broadcaster. Universally known as hams, the amateur radio station operators have conversations with others far inside Russia's Iron Curtain and occasionally exchange correspondence with the amateur stations they work.
This is VK6 Amateur Radio News, and you're listening to News West. News West is available to hear on air, online, and on demand. Visit our website, vk6.net, to find out how. Last week we told you about World Amateur Radio Day, which is actually on today, the 18th of April. But here's a note from Paul VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra, Paul's the VKFF National Coordinator, and Paul says that the VKFF program is pleased to announce that a special certificates will be on offer to any activator who activates a VKFF reference on World Amateur Radio Day. That's today. There will also be a special certificate on offer to anyone who works a VKFF activator on World Amateur Radio Day. The award is not implemented in LogSearch, so you'll need to send Paul an email with details of the park that you activated and all worked. And Paul's email address is VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra, VK5PAS@wia.org.au.
From the West Australian, Friday the 31st of August, 1951. Radio contest for amateurs. As part of the Jubilee celebrations, the Wireless Institute of Australia, in collaboration with the Arts Subcommittee for the celebrations, will conduct during October an international competition for radio amateurs to be known as the Jubilee VK-ZL-DX competitions for 1951. The State Director of Jubilee celebrations, Mr. R. H. Miller, said yesterday that the contest would be in two sections. The telegraphy competition would take place during the week ending October 13 and 14, and the telephony competition during the week ended October 20 and 21. Printed log sheets, together with the rules for the competition, would be posted to every licensed amateur in Australia and New Zealand. Further information can be obtained from the Wireless Institute of Australia, P.O. Box 1734, GPO, Sydney.
News West next week explores the world of the new amateur. We'll acknowledge those who've gained a new or upgraded license and hand out some gratuitous but sage advice to newcomers. And this may even prove useful for old hands too. What was it like for you when you first dipped your toe into the amateur radio pond? Would you like to tell us how it was for you? Believe it or not, your story will be interesting to others. Or perhaps you're a long past being a beginner and you're an old hand at amateur radio now, and there's something you'd like to pass on to newcomers, and that story is also welcome. All you need to do is write it down and record it. Usually about 300 words makes a nice sized piece. You can make a decent recording on a smartphone these days. Just set it to the best quality your device can manage and avoid a noisy environment. If you're a bit uncertain about making your own recording, drop us a line to newswest@vk6.net and we can interview you either face-to-face or via a two-person meeting via Zoom, Skype or similar. Please send all contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
Greetings once again, this is Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 18th of April 2021. Today I have still looking for a vertical antenna, multi-band vertical antenna for Alan, VK6 November Lima Romeo. If you can help Alan with a vertical multi-band 0448781023 is his phone number. Again, pen in hand, good. 0448781023. See if you can get Alan the hand to get on air. And also looking for an antenna is Simon. He's looking for a discount antenna for his scanner. The telephone number of Simon, 0429 912189. 0429 912189. His email is foxtrot sierra tango oscar papa 2002 at yahoo.indiaecho. And still looking for a microphone, Terry, looking for a Mike Charlie 35 Sierra Kenwood microphone. And if you can contact Terry for that one, His email address is all I've got is Tango Echo Romeo Romeo Yankee Oscar November Echo Bravo Echo Alpha Romeo at gmail.com. And for sale, we have a Yaesu FRG $7,250. There's also a Trio Kenwood Tango Sierra. It's a Tango Sierra 820 Sierra, an 820 Sierra, asking $270 for that. Contact Rob. His email address is romeooscarbravo.mikealphaxrayindia3@bigpond.com. And from the deceased estate of Tony, VK6 Papa Papa, we have a Yaesu speaker, $200 or nearest offer. There's also a Yaesu 920 Sierra HF 6-meter transceiver or mode transceiver, $850 or nearest offer. There's also a aircraft, a World War II vintage aircraft receiver, Signal Corps radio receiver, type Bravo Charlie 248 Hotel. It's a Bravo Charlie 248 Hotel. Apparently a very good receiver. It was used for many, many years after the war as well. There's also a power board with volt and amp meter. Contact Amber for those items. Alpha Mike Bravo Echo Romeo Golf 89 at hotmail.com. That's Alpha Mike Bravo Echo Romeo Golf figures 89 at hotmail.com. And that, my friends, is all for this week. Sorry about that. Any contact for next week, please contact VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. 7-3s till next time. Cheers.
The team today was Roy VK6XV, Jeff VK6JEF, Mike VK6KMS, with Andrew VK6AS slaving away in the bowels of the recording machinery. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer, floor sweeper and washer-upper, and my job's still up for grabs. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors and to the people who make News West available outside of Western Australia via direct broadcasts, on demand on repeaters, online and via podcast. You're worth your weight in gold, or Bitcoin, you choose. Next week, we're looking into the world of new and returning amateurs, and we're looking forward to bringing that segment to you. However, you've got a whole week in which to look forward to that. So in the meantime, how about getting on air and making some noise?